Question for the day. Are you soaked in the Holy Spirit? Now, what do you mean by that? Are you soaked in the Holy Spirit? Did you ever marinate anything? Did you ever marinate a steak or anything and you put it in there and you let it soak? Well, our spiritual life is the same way. We need to be marinating the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because think about your life and think about the culture that we live in today and what might deplete you. You know, what wears you out? What gives you like, I don't have any more energy to keep on going? Both physical energy and spiritual energy. Judy, in her recovery, is dealing with lack of energy, and she got to keep refreshing herself, keep pushing herself. So what depletes you of your energy? Because we live in a culture that is very highly stressed. Can you give me an amen? Since COVID, people suffered more from anxiety than any other time in past history. Prices are up. Salaries have kind of stayed the same. Houses, whether it's rental or purchasing a home, people are suffering from loss, grief, anxiety from overworking or even a lack of financial stability. Worries about the future, and most of all, a lack of an emotional and spiritual anchor. Most retirees, and most of us here this morning, are retired or in the process of retiring shortly. We think about how we can escape the rat race. Once we retire, we can escape this rat race. But now, suffer from depression and lack of direction, most people aren't able to do that. Purpose and meaning and identity. Those who have lost relatives during COVID-19 still lament over their loved ones dying, along with this misplaced guilt over what they believe could have been done differently. I experienced a little bit of that when my wife Bonnie died of lung cancer, and I had a guilt complex for a long time. What could I have done to help her? And, you know, you carry that. It wasn't nothing I could do. It was just hospice took over. They tell us what to do with the morphine. And my father-in-law said to me, and he said, I think you're killing her. We're giving her too much of that stuff. Well, that's what hospice recommended, and it was. It allowed her to pass peacefully. I happened to be with her when her spirit left. What a blessing that was. But misplaced guilt over what could have we done differently in anything in this life. And it doesn't matter how long ago it's been. That's been 30 years ago, and I still think about, what could I have done differently? But the pandemic has left its mark on our world. In addition, everyone seems to be fighting division, dissension, flurries, while we do not, even in our own denomination. It's crazy. It really and truly is. While dynamics of protest continue to be fueled by hatred and bias and anger, people, in general, are running on empty. They're depleted, they're exhausted, and they don't know where to turn. Why not? I think, and this is something that we all need to realize, even our churches have forgotten what fuels their hope, their joy, and passion, and they cannot offer others what they have forgotten about themselves. Similar to what we read in that scripture about passing this stuff down to our children. But the question for all of us, what fuels us? Do we feel depleted in our life, or do we flourish knowing our tank is always full? Or perhaps I should ask instead, what keeps you burning and passionate about your life and filled with authenticity and truth and identity and meaning in your everyday living, or not? If you're a Christ follower and you thought about that and you didn't answer Jesus, then you need to identify what the problem is, because Jesus is the one that'll keep your lamps full. So whereas an overwhelming percentage of people in our culture today, and unfortunately in our churches, They're searching for some kind of spirituality in their lives, an anchor upon which they can build their identity, meaning, and purpose. In many churches, now I'm not talking necessarily about Bethel, because I think we got a leg up on some of the churches in our community, because we don't have some of this stuff. But there's a lot of churches out there that are spiritually dry. They kind of fold themselves inward, and they have a little bit of infighting, a little bit of apathy, a fear of connecting to its own community. And those who often set up a me versus them mentality, but caring for their own, but shutting their minds and doors to others. Why? Fear. What strokes fear? A lack of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. So where is Jesus? Fear cannot reside. A relationship with Jesus is the antithesis of fear. And when your heart is filled to the brim with Jesus and His love and His grace, security and hope, fear burns away. A relationship with Christ in which you know and feel assured each and every day of His unconditional love for your life. I think about that when we're singing that song. Just imagine your sin being on that cross, marked forgiven. Now, that doesn't make us perfect, that don't make us, but it gives us a sense of peace and joy and hope, and fear sort of dissipates. You feel assured each and every day when you reflect on your relationship with Christ and His unconditional love, the grace that He bestows upon us in our life, and guarantees that we will feel full with wellness and joy no matter what we're going through. It's a little thing called faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is commonly known as the faith chapter. Faith in Jesus is the oil that fills your soul and lights up you in your darkest of times. Because you know that your identity lies in being a beloved child of the living God. The more you soak or marinate your heart and soul in the Holy Spirit of Christ, the more passion, the more energy, the more resilience and direction you will find in your life. Are you soaked? I'm thinking about that song. Are you washed in the blood? Same thing. Soaked. Marinated. So what's it mean to be spirit soaked? Well, we've talked about it for the last 17 weeks, and my humble opinion is that you are filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The scripture that we read this morning in Matthew 25, Jesus tells yet another parable. What are these things, parable? Well, it's a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. That's really what a parable is. Jesus taught in parables a lot. It's a parable what it means to be in true and intimate relationship with Him. And He uses the metaphor of the bridegroom and the wedding. I think one of the most popular and prevalent metaphors in all Scripture for God's relationship with us. In fact, that entire book in the Bible called the Song of Songs is a beautiful metaphor poem that helps people realize how they are to feel when they're connected to God. You remember a few years ago, maybe Tina and Travis don't even remember, it's been a long time, I asked them to read the Book of Psalms from the pulpit. And when they said, they looked at it and they said, are you sure you want me to read that? I don't know. But it's a powerful book to read about God's love, how it's brought to us in a metaphor. Our relationship with God is not to be distant, not mechanical, not emotionally empty, merely tradition-based. No, an impersonal one. No, our relationship with God, says Jesus, is one of the most emotional and spiritual intimacy, filled with the joy and abundance. Jesus came to say that we can have life and how we can have it more abundantly. But we must remain Spirit-soaked, spiritually patient and ready, for we do not know when the bridegroom is going to come. We are in a day and time that we could be the generation to see the return of the Lord, but we got to be like a watchman. Watch. Jesus said, watch and pray. Remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he couldn't get the disciples to watch and pray? Spirit-soaked, spiritually patient and ready, knowing that our groom will always return for us to bring us into God's feast of abundant love and life. So, we must be ready to meet Jesus in our lives. Not only now, but in the future. We got to be spiritually alert. We must be ready to open our hearts to him and reveal ourselves to him and let him change us, infuse us with his peace and light up our life with love. Our faith is our only fuel, and he will do the rest. That's what I always liked about what Paul said in Romans 7 about if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd be a sorry bunch of puppies. But praise be to God, the death, burial, and the resurrection, and the promise of him coming back gives us hope. We call it the blessed hope. So Jesus lets us know that he is the bridegroom. He is God's son, the one who cares for us, the one who sacrificed on our behalf, and has the ability to unlock every door for us in our lives and our future. When we allow him to take up residence in our heart, he will bring his supernatural light into the darkest recesses of our heart and will warm us and remind us of who we are and the amazing potential that we have in our life. We're unique. You're unique. None of us are the same. We are all children of the living God, special, created for relationship with God. So all you need to do is be ready, be faithful, look for him, pray to him, believe in him. So often our lives that we can get so sidetracked and bogged down with sadness, grief, that we forget that Jesus has the power to lift us up. He's sort of like a salve that heals us and comforts us. And he has the power to provide us with guidance and direction, to reinstill in us a sense of peace and security, the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus promised it to us. And we can have it. A sense of peace, security, when things feel chaotic around us. And boy, do things feel chaotic almost every day of our life. We need to keep our spiritual tanks full of faith and trust and the love of Christ. We need to say spirit-soaked or stoked, if you would, too. Soaked and stoked for the party that God will provide in our lives now and in the future. Jesus knew how hard it would be for his disciples to go on without him physically. I remember a couple weeks ago when Linda was saying, you know, I wish Jesus was here physically, that he could hold my hand and I could hold his hand and we can walk together. Well, he's not here physically, but he's here spiritually, and he will hold your hand and walk with you. Because he knew that his time was approaching when he was with the disciples, and he knew that he had to leave them, and he also needed to assure them to stay faithful and strong so that the mission would not die, but the mission would continue to spread so that God's love could light up the world again and all who live in it. And he needed the disciples to listen. Oh, we talk about the Shema, the Hebrew word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. That word Shema simply in Hebrew means hear. Hear. So today, we too need to hear. Hear Jesus' message. Thank God it's recorded in the little book that we call the Bible. Jesus' message is encouraging us to stay faithful no matter what happens, and the promise of us, what he do? He sent an advocate in the form of the Holy Spirit, who would guide us with his own light, the holy light of God, and who would keep us steady, passionate, and mission-focused. I like that part in the Great Commission that's in the latter part of Matthew's Gospel. We need to stay focused and the identity rich in the time to come. No matter how difficult life feels, no matter how bad things get, and they most likely will get better, if that's a word, because we're in a very tumultuous situation around the world, not only in this country, and it could explode at any time. I'm like Phil, I like the history, and I know about World War I a little bit. I wasn't there in World War I, but you know where the Veterans Day came from? Was whenever they finally ended World War I on the 11th month, the 11th day, or the 11th hour and 11th minute. They called it Armistice Day, and some places around the world still call it that. We said, I think it was Woodrow Wilson said, we need to include all the veterans. And then later on in the 50s, that we come to recognize Veterans Day as something very special, and it is. And we need to keep our faith in our hearts, and when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and infuse us with hope and security, we'll get through it. Because no matter what happens, if you have Christ in your heart, you know you have a secure place. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. One scripture says, I prepare many resting places for you. I like that. Some say many mansions. I like that too. But the resting place, can you imagine going to a place to rest after this life is over? Hallelujah. But we as the church need to relearn, not reimagine, relearn how to pray. When Jesus and his disciples spent the last night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked them to pray with him. Even for Jesus, prayer kept him focused on God, secured in his relationship with the Father, and secured in knowing what he had to do. Remember, he even prayed, Lord, if you could take this cup away from me, that'd be great. But I know what I got to do. And he kept his face towards Jerusalem. And he knew what was ahead, and he was willing to go and die on that cross for us. And then the grave didn't hold him. 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And then even went to heaven, and he said, I'll be back. You hang on to that. We're coming up on Advent, which is good. We celebrate the birth of Christ. We anticipate and we get prepared. But we stay in a constant state of Advent because we don't know when he's coming back. That's the whole story of the bridegroom. Even for Jesus, prayer kept him focused. Focused on God, secured in his relationship with the Father, and secured in knowing what he had to do. So whenever things got rough during the years of his ministry, those 3 years where he was here in the flesh, Jesus would get away and spend time in prayer. And you heard me, this is Ralphie's imagination, but I'm thinking about they walked everywhere they went. They didn't have cars and different things. And at the end of the day, you know, they would stop and build a fire and prepare something to eat and fellowship with one another. And then Jesus would always go up by himself. And the disciples wondered, why do you go up by yourself? He said, well, guys, you know, I'm God. I'm in the flesh. And I get hungry like you guys. I get thirsty. And all this stuff like you, because I decided to come here just like you so that I can understand you better and to be able to know what being in this flesh body is like. So I experience this, but more importantly, I need to go and talk to Daddy. Talk to the Father? Yeah, could we do that? Yeah. And he gave them a model prayer. If you look at that prayer and you think about it every time you go through it, it's a model prayer for all of our prayers to line up with. It's wonderful. Prayer. Talk to God. So whether as a church, and you have a church, and I'm glad that you do because most of you are here. But there's a lot of people out there that don't have. I had our county commissioner, a great fellow, Stephen Walker, got hit down here. And he was a man of faith, but he never connected himself with the church. So yes, right, but we did his community celebration service. We did it in the auditorium of the Jefferson County High School. Now, had he had a church affiliation, that celebration would have been with the church, and the local churches did come out and prepare and fed the family. But you've got to have a church connection. You've got to have a relationship with things, because you never know when things will happen. So I challenge us as we go into this Thanksgiving season that we spend at least 10 minutes a day in prayer. And it don't have to be sitting in a special place and folding your hands and all that. You can pray while you're walking. You can do what, just take the Psalm, I think it's 46:1, says, "Be still and know thy God." Refresh your spiritual energies. Open your heart to God and tell Jesus what is on your mind and in your spirits. When Jesus said, "Go into your prayer closet," what he meant by that, I already know everything you need, everything that you want. But I want to talk to you, and I want you to talk to me. So go into your prayer closet all by yourself. Don't do like the hypocrites and run around and put prayer box to them. No, go into your prayer closet and pour out your heart. He already knows. But sometimes verbalizing it is so important. Allow him to comfort you. And love, and just put those loving arms around you, spiritually, and with the warmth and the love, and then send you back into the day, knowing that your foundation is rooted in him. Prayer builds faith. Faith builds passion. And Jesus provides the light.